The role of the reservist is changing. Currently, if there's military action, the Secretary of Defense must get presidential approval to mobilize the reserve forces. But now the Chief of the Army Reserve tells Federal News Radio that law needs to be changed. Lieutenant General Jack Stultz will testify before the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel about how the reserve forces have evolved.
What we're saying in the future, because now we've created this force that is such a highly trained, experienced, combat seasoned, you know, it's the best force we've ever had in the reserve component. And the force that we've got today says, I want to be used. I don't want to be put back on the shelf when there are no more Iraq and Afghanistan requirements. We're saying we've got to change the law to allow us to continue the reserve use of the reserve when we don't have a named contingency. And an example would be, you know, we use the reserve currently to do a lot of medical support missions, engineer support missions, things like that in foreign countries. We do a lot of medical support in Central and South America with Southern Command in places like El Salvador, Panama, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Colombia. We do engineering and civil affairs support to some of the countries in AFRICOM, such as Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, places like that. But in a lot of cases, we use our annual training authority for 3 weeks or 4 weeks of annual training as the mechanism to put our soldiers there. What we're saying in the future is give the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of the Services, depending on which level they want to, the authority to use our forces for those kind of missions for longer than 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Let us use them for 3 months or 4 months. And we'll do it in a rotational cycle, just as we're doing today with Operation New Dawn and Operation Enduring Freedom, where we're telling our soldiers, once you're used for OIF, OND, or OEF, you can plan on having 3 to 4 years back home before we'd ever call you up again. Well, in the future, let us be able to use them in that cyclical type rotation to do more of the theater engagement, security cooperation, humanitarian type missions that aren't named contingencies.
Is this more of a reflection of the new definition of the reserves and possibly the Guard, the new type of mission that they face? Because traditionally, this isn't how it has worked.
No, I think it is. I think it's what we've called using the reserve as part of the operational force. You know, in the Army Reserve, we've got a lot of the what we call enabler capability for the Army, the engineers, the medical, the civil affairs. You know, I've got 60% of the Army's medical capability. I've got 85% of the Army's civil affairs capability. And so if we're going to keep them trained and ready and keep them engaged, we've got to continue to use them in something meaningful. And the other thing the soldiers today tell me that are in the reserve, they want to be utilized. They don't want to go back to this 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer is all we do.
We're talking with Lieutenant General Jack Stultz. He's Chief of the Army Reserve. How has this evolution come about? What was the turning point, or has this been a slow growth?
Well, I think the how we've been using the reserve components in the current conflicts, and that is on that rotational cycle, calling them up, giving them, training them to a certain standard, and then employing them on the battlefield. We've recruited a force over the last 10 years that's what the expectation has become. Is if you're a reserve soldier, you're going to get called up and utilized. And it's become, to them, part of the expectation that they want. I joined the reserve so I could do something. I joined the reserve so I could deploy to Afghanistan or Iraq. I feel like I've accomplished something. I've given something back to the country. And, you know, the thing that's amazing to me, and I've been in the reserve now for a long time, between active and reserve duty, I've got over 37 years of service. But watching the evolution of what, when I came into the reserves in 1979 versus what we have today, today we've got soldiers in our formations that they've got good educations. They've got good jobs back home. They're living the American dream. They got a nice home, a family, a college degree, a good job. But yet they come to us and say, I want to serve. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to full-time because I've got another career, but I want to serve. I want to feel like I've given something to this nation. And so they joined the reserve with the intent of going and serving, not just sitting on the shelf.
I want to expand on that a little bit because these are people who have other careers and a life beyond the reserves. So how would you be able to reconcile that with this change in the law, or does it touch on that at all?
No, I think it does, because what soldiers tell me is the same thing the employers tell me. We just need some predictability. Mm-hmm. We support you. You know, the employers of America tell me they love having soldiers as employees because the intangibles, values, ethics, leadership, devotion that you don't normally get. You know, when they hire a soldier, that soldier comes guaranteed drug-free, physically fit, morally fit, has been taught leadership, values, integrity, all those intangibles. So the employers, you know, are clamoring. They, you know, we have 1,800 employers right now that are partners with the Army Reserve, that we're filling their needs. And so the employers tell us the same thing the soldier is. I support you because I see the value in this individual. Just give me some predictability.
Where is this legislation now? What sort of support have you seen, and are there any speed bumps along the way that you have to overcome?
Well, my understanding right now, the Senate has it in the National Defense Authorization Act that they're preparing for fiscal year 12. They have put the language in the NDAA to say that they would authorize access to up to 60,000 reserve, and that's Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and Army, and includes the National Guard. So up to about 60,000 a year for up to 365 days. And the House has not put it into language yet. I think they're waiting for the Senate's language before they do anything. But it looks like it's moving forward and has good support. I think it's a must. We have built an Army that is dependent on the reserve for the future. We have put so much capacity, you know, if you look at some of the statistics today, 75% of the engineer capability, 80% of the transportation capability, 85% of civil affairs, about 70% of the medical, about 65% of the military police is resident in the Guard and Reserve for the force. And so we're dependent on those capabilities for the future. We've got soldiers who are joined our force who said, I want to be utilized. And so we've got to have a mechanism of keeping them trained, ready, and engaged. Otherwise, we're going to go back through this dip that we always see after a conflict where we lose a lot of soldiers who just become disinterested, if you wanted, with 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks in the summer, and that's all I've got to look forward to. The return on investment of your reserve component is it's very cost effective. The return on investment for the employers of America is you're getting a tremendous asset. We're building the workforce for America.
Lieutenant General Jack Stultz is chief of the Army Reserve. He is scheduled to testify before the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel on July 27th. You can learn more about this and hear this interview again on federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.